the Lord in prayer, and then we will begin the Ruth outline. I provided an outline for adults, and then we also have, of course, the students, the young children. You'll want to make sure you have your books, and that way you can fill out your books. The books are located in the back table if you want to root through and grab those. Okay, let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise Thee for this day to rest from our regular labors and to devote the entire day to Thy worship, private, public, and the fellowship with Thy people. We praise You for this, and we ask that You will bless this day, especially in the worship services and also in the sacrament in that first and morning worship service. We ask, Father, that You will do a work here amongst our people, a true revival with their faith. And we thank Thee that You have appointed this sacrament for that end. We pray that You will send Thy Holy Spirit and bless this time now in preparation as we look at the book of Ruth and try to have a good understanding of the entire word that You have given us, that we may be able to better read it and understand it as we look at individual portions. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, you have your books before you. Make sure that you're filling out the portions at the top yourself, the book being Ruth. It's in the Old Testament. And you can also look at your Bible and fill out the chapters yourself as well. There's four chapters. Let me begin by giving you a little overview of the time period and the author. The author of Ruth is not explicitly known, but it can be deduced to be the same as Judges and to be Samuel the prophet. It makes sense that it would have been, if you think about it, Samuel anointed David 20 years before he became king. And so for 20 years, Samuel was knowing that the Lord anointed David, but Saul was king, and you can imagine how he would have looked into David's history, his family history, and gathered up what was this kid all about that the Jehovah has chosen to be the king of his people. And so you can imagine that Samuel could have very easily done this work, had the time to do this work, had the resources to do this work, since he resided in the holy place where these types of things would have been written down. And so you can put for the author, of course, the Holy Spirit using perhaps Samuel as his penman. The time period is we know more exactly, and that's because the Lord Jesus gave us a very distinct genealogy of David, as you can imagine, and he gave us different time frames that we can base things on. For example, we know from 1 Kings 6 that there's 480 years between the Exodus, so the people of God coming out of Egypt, and the building of Solomon's temple. So 480 years. So if you subtract, you know, David's reign from that and the beginning of Solomon's right before he builds, you know, you can subtract that and you can see that there's about 300 and some years between the Exodus and David. And then you just start backing it up. All right, well, David to Jesse, Jesse to Obed, Obed to Ruth. And you get to where we are at. And if you do that math, it's about 1240s BC. Okay? 1240s BC. And that's the time period that we're talking about. This, for important people, of course, you guys already written down Ruth. But children, there's also the line. You need to know the line of David. You need to know that Ruth and Boaz, okay, there's two people you should have had written down. Ruth and Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So you should know all of those and understand the relationship. As you're reading the book of Ruth, you should know that this is David's great-great, okay, grandmother and grandfather and their story. And And that way you can start to put into context how it is that even the line of David was a type of Christ, including David himself. And so that's what I want to lay out before you as we look at, if you notice the outline. So before we get into the central theme here, we're going to go to your parents' outline, but you can go to your outline, and I'm going to give you. There's only two things here in your outline, okay, that I want you to write down. I put it in your parents' outline with much detail. With yours, it's going to be less detail, but it's going to be enabling you to see why the Holy Spirit gave us Ruth. So important that we have Ruth. Okay. So the two parts of the book can be likened to the two parts of who you are if you're a believer here today. The first part, and children, I want you to write this into your outline. So you should have your books, right? So you chapters 1 and 2 are the first part of the book, right? There's only 4 chapters. So believe it or not, and we can cut it right in half, chapters 1 and 2 and chapters 3 and 4. Chapters 1 and 2 is the unhappy estate of Ruth. The unhappy estate of Ruth. And this is who we are. We're born into this world. We're not happy. We're not blessed. We are indeed, and maybe that's a better word, and I hope you caught from Mr. Adeyemi yesterday that that's indeed what the meaning of blessed, happy, okay? That's important for you to know. He was talking about how God is blessed in the heavens. There's no such thing as God as He is in his being sad. He's eternally blessed. Now, Jesus, of course, since He is God and man, He, of course, will have such things as sadness. But we're born into this world in an unhappy or an unblessed state. And this Ruth's life is very much like that. She loses her husband. There's some writings about her in the Talmud and such that said that she was one of the princesses of the land of Moab, and that, you know, that was one of the reasons that they moved to that area to marry into this type of lineage. And it makes it all the more stark that Ruth, in her state of unhappiness and unblessedness, that she still chose the God of Naomi, the God of her deceased husband, the God Jehovah, over the Moabite gods. And so in her estate, she reaches through the promises of the God of Israel. And that has her return to Bethlehem, Ephratah, in order to return with Naomi and seek the promises there. And so chapters 3 and 4 is her grasping the promises in the doctrine and through the doctrine of the kinsman redeemer. And I'm going to read this shortly from the law for you so you can see what it was like. And so chapters 3 and 4, that second part of this book, is the blessed or the happy estate of Ruth. And I want you to make sure that you're realizing, although it's divided this way, that it's meant to parallel your experience. Your experience. You are Ruth. You're unblessed until you grasp onto the promises, going to the land of promise and taking hold of the promises in Jesus Christ. It's exactly what Ruth does. Let me show you. So you may know that Boaz was part of the extended family of the deceased husband of Ruth. They would have called that in the Hebrew tongue a brother. He wasn't an immediate brother. He was actually a removed cousin. But you'll see that that's exactly how this law is to be applied, is not within the direct relation of brother, but within the family relation of brother. So extended family and cousins. And so I'm going to read for you this doctrine of the kinsman redeemer from Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47, and I'll just go to the end of the chapter. If you want to look at this with me in the Bibles, in the pews, this is page 168. This is the basis for the promises which Ruth was grasping onto. Okay, let's hear it. "And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of a hired servant shall it be with him. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so there is the promise. There was only freedom in Israel. No other culture had a Jubilee. Children, there is no other freedom except in Jesus Christ. There was no other opportunity for redemption in any other culture. If you have found yourself poor, unhappy, enslaved, except in this divine law where you were able to have a friend, a family, come and redeem you. A kinsman. That's what that word means, boys and girls. Kinsman means family, or one that is akin or related to you by some extension of blood. And here it is that you see part of the necessity for why Jesus had to become our kinsman, our brother, our friend. And this is the exact reason why the Holy Spirit gave this law to Israel, that it may point them to their kinsman, Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what you see Ruth was getting at. She lay, you know, there's some disgusting, perverted scholars that want to make Ruth laying at the foot of Boaz be some sexual thing. It's not. She was trying to respect him and go in private in obeying Naomi to press this promise upon Boaz without feeling like she's forcing him by going in public to do it. So she goes at night and she lays at his feet and she's reminding him of the promises of the law of Jehovah and entreating him if he may be willing to take her and redeem her in her impoverished estate. She was going to have to be selling herself as a servant. A bond servant, if she was not taken up by a kinsman in her deceased husband's family. And so she presses the promises of Jehovah upon him, and Boaz receives her. And this is something we see in the New Testament. We see women going at the feet of Jesus, and how much more is this a beautiful picture of us and what we ought to be doing, going to the feet of Jesus in our state of unhappiness and finding in Him and in His person, in His kinsman redeemer relation which He has with us, offering unto us this very same promise which was available between Boaz and Ruth unto us, that we may find blessedness. I hope in this outline, breaking up the two estates of Ruth, I hope that you are able to see the central theme of this book. The central theme of this book, children, this is for you to copy down in the middle of your page. The central theme of this book is to show forth Christ as a type in Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer. I'm going to say that again. The purpose of this book is to show forth Christ as a type in Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman, K-I-N-S-M-A-N, redeemer. We were enslaved in sin and to the kingdom of darkness that Satan ruled. And we were bought back. No longer slaves of Satan and sin, but rather free. Free. Jesus is our jubilee. He is our kinsman, redeemer. The most important places in this book are going to be Moab, from which Ruth descends. A Gentile, by the way. There's some other things we could say about that. She was not of the people of God. She was grafted in. This is, of course, foreshadowing the engrafting of the Gentiles. But also, you should know Bethlehem. Bethlehem, where Naomi went, and where Boaz was tending the fields. This is a most wonderful story. Children, especially you ladies out there, I recommend that you go and read Ruth. It's only 4 chapters. Read Ruth today. Maybe between the second service and spaghetti dinner. Just read Ruth. It's the most beautiful picture of your salvation. You're Ruth. We're Ruth. Boaz, like Christ. That is Ruth in overview. I hope that was helpful for you. And children, if you want to see the outline in more detail, you can look off your mom and dad's copy, which I provided them. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer and give an extended time for preparation for the service to come, which will begin at 10:30. And I guess, you know, I could open up, since we do have 5 more minutes normally. If there is any question, if there's not, that's fine. We'll just pray. But is there any questions in regard to Ruth, the outline, the important people and places, or the main theme, especially from the younger people here? You know what a redeemer is? I take it. Redemption. Okay. All right, let's pray then. Father in heaven, we praise thee for the book of Ruth and the Holy Spirit's mighty hand upon it. We pray that you will impress upon all that are here, especially the children here whom I love so much, that you will make them think that they are Ruth, that they have a choice to go with the God of Naomi, their mother and father, into the land of promise, or they can forsake them. Indeed, they have that choice, and to stay in a land of Moab, where the true God is not worshipped, where the people of God are not. We ask, O God, that you will make them see that there is a kinsman redeemer, and that they are in an unhappy state, a state where there will be no eternal joy until they go to the feet of Him who is their Redeemer. We pray that you will work this into their hearts this day, especially as they look upon this common table, cup and bread, and see there the common fellowship of the saints because of the common broken body and poured out blood of a kinsman, redeemer. Prepare our hearts now for worship here to come this morning and afternoon. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.